My name is Sakina Shabazz, and I will be speaking on the verse, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. The first time I heard this verse was on a track from Lauryn Hill's 1998 Miseducation album. In between melodies and riffs that characterized her music, she encouraged her listeners to beware of the false motives of others. But in being asked to prepare a short sermon for this Good Friday service, I needed more context and texture for why Jesus asked his Father, our Father, to forgive those who knew not what they were doing as he was being crucified. Luke 23:34 is the verse where Jesus says these powerful words, but in reading the lines beforehand, I became curious about Jesus' use of the word them. Was he just referring to the assembly of people, the lawmakers and high priests who called for his death? Or was he also referring to Pilate, who initially said, I find no basis for a charge against this man, and then later surrendered him to the crowd to die? I think Jesus was referring to both. Even those who are well-meaning but often concede their judgment to a loud crowd or just plain old peer pressure are also in need of God's forgiveness. I think Pilate knew the gravity of the situation, but feared that perhaps he would be overthrown by the crowd. He was just one voice among many. That he later helped to remove Jesus' body from the cross further shows that he was not in favor of crucifying the Son of God. To pivot a little, I learned recently that guilt and shame are not the same thing. When one experiences guilt, it means that they did something bad. When one experiences shame, it means they feel they are bad. I wonder how Pilate and Joseph and the other onlookers who saw Jesus being carried to his death felt, knowing that they didn't support this action. I wonder if they felt like they could have done more to save him. But what would it have meant for them to go against the crowd, potentially save him, when in Jesus' death we're all saved? I could speculate this down to the barest bone because that's how my curiosity is arranged, but I'll refrain from doing that. Deep down, I accept Jesus' death and resurrection, but part of me is deeply uncomfortable with the idea that Jesus or anyone must die to bring about wide sweeping change, whether it be the saving of our souls or, more relevantly, the saving of our nation. I'm inclined to name the names of martyrs who have died leading different social and religious movements. But I couldn't think of enough women to balance out the men who immediately came to mind, though I know their efforts were probably equal to or greater than their male counterparts. In many instances, their death led to great mourning, holidays and streets being named after them, and often people recommitting to their spiritual and religious lives as a balm to the pain they felt. Jesus said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do, in reference to those who perpetrated violence and other forms of disobedience against him. The very human, very angry, and perhaps unsaved part of me thinks that the people who we so revere in death shouldn't have to die for us to celebrate and honor them. While Jesus gained many followers throughout his life, and those who wept for him felt grief before he was even crucified, his death and resurrection shocked many and created more believers. How do I, as a person of faith and a member of this beautiful church body, honor and love the most cherished people in my life while they're here? How can I be a keeper of my brothers and sisters, even when I fail to protect them intentionally or unintentionally? I'd like to think that I'm always well-meaning, even-tempered, if you will, and generally on the right side of faith and history, but I know for a fact that I have deliberately ignored someone or something that I should have dedicated my time, attention, and resources to. The lighter version of this is ignoring a call from my mother and forgetting to call her back. I imagine Jesus telling God to forgive me, for I know not what it will be like to not have her in my life one day. The heavier and more unconscionable version of this is not coming to the defense of a friend in high school who was threatened and harmed by an intimate partner because I felt like it wasn't my business. I can also imagine Jesus saying, Father, Forgive her. She couldn't have known the gravity of the situation and that this young woman's life would end. I want to challenge us to think about the forgiveness that Jesus asked for and the ways in which we might be doing things or not doing things without knowing the consequences of our actions. In general, I struggle with forgiveness. I don't give it freely. I don't often ask for it. And even when I know it could salvage a relationship, I don't go for it. I think people will call this being stubborn. Because of this, I question if I will ever be worthy of someone else's forgiveness if I find myself in violation of something or someone. But in paying closer attention to this verse, Jesus calls on his Father, not his followers, to forgive the people who are doing these things against him. He told the women who wept for him to instead weep for their children, and later told one of the men who were also being put to death that he would be with him in paradise. At various points throughout the Bible, we are called to be like Jesus. Why is it so hard for me, and maybe even you, to forgive others? I think the answer is that I simply am not there yet. There being spiritual maturity, enlightenment, and other important markers that make us more Christ-like. I want to be there. I think the best I've done is having a posture towards forgiveness, where I can see its value, its need, and I can envision the burden of pain no longer being mine or others. But posture is not permanent. And sometimes I get really, really slouchy in asking God to intervene when I've reached the upper limit of what I think I can handle. Rarely do I even lean on this church, which embodies Christ and God so beautifully, when I find myself feeling downtrodden or mocked or feeling guilty. On this Good Friday, I'm reminded that our Father in heaven is an extraordinary intervener, that he can be asked to forgive those who we find ourselves unable to forgive and can also be called on when we trespass against others. In Luke, it doesn't specifically say that Jesus could not or would not forgive those who crucified him, but I can imagine it being difficult even for him. In this spirit, I want to work on my posture a little more and lean on God and this church. May we all remember that in Jesus' death, that we are saved and worthy and redeemable, even if we can't see it for ourselves or for others. Amen.